Let us pray. Father, we read in the book of Acts that you sent your Holy Spirit in wonderful and powerful ways upon your people and changed them and transformed them. And we pray for the same Holy Spirit to come upon us. And we pray that by your grace, your word will be faithfully preached and faithfully heard. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. If you are wondering why we're wearing white today rather than the green that we've become accustomed to, it's Christ the King Sunday. And it's the last Sunday of this season. It's the Sunday before Advent. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Sunday before Advent. Christ the King Sunday. And it's an opportunity for us to examine what it means that Christ is our King. It's Jesus' confrontation, the gospel is, in John chapter 18 with Pontius Pilate. And in this confrontation, we hear what it means that Christ is our King. Jesus confronts this political power. I mean, there is no greater political power than Pontius Pilate in Judea. He's the governor, and that means he serves under the authority of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. And so Jesus confronts this political power, and in the gospel lesson today, again, it's John 18, we hear Jesus teach what it's supposed to mean for Christians to relate to political power. So Pontius Pilate, twice in this gospel lesson, asks the question, so are you a king? Are you a king? The first time he says, are you the king of the Jews? And the second time he asks, so you are a king? Now, I want you to know that Pilate's not asking a theological question. He's not interested in theological propositions. He's not asking, are you the Old Testament fulfillment of the Messiah as we understand it? He's not asking, so Jesus, are you the fulfillment of the 354 prophecies that the Old Testament has about the coming Messiah? He's not asking those questions. He's not interested in Jesus in a theological way. What he's asking is, are you, Jesus, a political force? Do you come with an army? Do you come as a political movement? Are you trying to overthrow the Roman Empire? That's Pilate's concern. The political power that Pilate represents is a power to make people do things. It's a power to curb behavior. It's a power to legislate morality and to keep people in line. But Pilate asks Jesus this question, are you a king? And Jesus answered in a way that's pretty slippery and pretty ambiguous. Here's what he says in verse 37. He says, you know that I am a king. Or he says it in this way, you say that I am a king. And then in verse 36, he says, not a king like you imagine, though. My kingdom is not of this world. It's from another place. And in back in 37, he says, I am a king. For this reason, I came to bear witness to the truth. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. You see how he's deliberately ambiguous. He's deliberately kind of slippery about this whole thing. Because there's so many nuances that surround what it means to be the king. On the one hand, he's not a political king. If he were, his servants would come and deliver him forcibly from the hands of the Roman Empire. In one place on the cross, he says, in effect, if I was the king, they would come by the angels and they would free me from this terrible fate. He tells Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, put your sword back into its place. He is not a political power. He's another kind of king. that came to bear witness to the truth. He's not to take over the Roman Empire. He's not to enforce his way. He came for another reason. Truth changes the world, unlike any force of power. Truth does. We can make laws against or for something, and we do all the time. And some of those are great laws, and they're meant to curb behavior and to make people go the straight and narrow and to do all those things. But to change minds is a very different thing, and to change hearts is a very different thing, and to change wills is a very different kind of power. The scriptures say that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life away as a ransom for many. Laws are important. I mean, where would we be without laws? They're critically important. And political force, critically important. But they're not nearly as powerful as ideas, as truth. You can legislate, for example, against abortion. But isn't that a qualitatively different thing than to enculturate within a society a love for life, God-given life? And so laws are at best when they follow that change of heart and mind and will that God came to proclaim. He's the truth. He came to profess the truth. There's no powerful, more powerful force in the world than the force of changed lives, of those who meet the truth. And so we see that for 300 years after Jesus came, there were laws against Christianity. Christianity was illegal, and it was underground, and it was subversive. But the Christian community in those few hundred years after Christ offered a countercultural worldview that changed the world in one generation. It was that powerful. It changed everything. It drew people to the truth. It drew people to Jesus, and it changed the world because Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Pilate that day, the day before Jesus was crucified, stood before Jesus, who is truth. He stood before the truth. Jesus, it says in the Gospel of John, was filled with grace and truth. And a little later in John, we hear how Jesus claims of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we hear later in John's Gospel, chapter 10, "If you know the truth will set you free." When confronting the truth, the one who has the power really in the world, the one who has the power to forgive sins and to clean you and to give you a new chance to begin again, if you stand before this power, the one who has the power to give you a new chance, a new life, if you stand before this power, the truth, the one who has the power to fill you with his holy and dynamic and real spirit, then you're confronted with a choice. What are you going to do with that? What does it mean for you in a very personal way to be confronted with the power of God? Pilate responded one way. He walked away from the truth that day, and he washed his hands of the truth. But many then and many here today respond in a very different way. And they have come to believe and to receive the gift of God that's offered to them when you encounter the truth. They have opened their hearts to receive His forgiveness. And they know what it's like to live a new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they know what it's like to be filled with God Himself, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and to live a life in that same spirit. They were confronted with a choice, and they responded different from the way Pilate responded. So Pilate walked away and he washed his hands. Jesus is a king. The Bible tells us He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has power beyond any worldly power to change and to transform. And so He came into their midst that day, and He comes into our midst today. And whenever we're confronted with power, real power, whenever we're confronted with the truth, we're confronted with a choice. What are we going to do with this Jesus, the King who came to profess the truth? We're confronted with a choice of whether or not we will receive Him and believe in His name and enter into the life that He offers us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.